Would you believe it? Come on in. It's me, Kerry Stennett. It's a Tuesday morning, so it must be, mustn't it? It's Radio Cardiff, 98.7 FM, and we're delighted to have you with us. And if you've only just joined us at 6 minutes past ten, where have you been for the last hour? I've been here since nine. I've been working hard for you people. Yes, absolutely. And we are here until 11. Of course, Radio Cardiff here, 24 hours a day, always there to keep you company and tell you what's going on in our fine capital city. Yes, one of the things that is going on in our fine capital city is that there are many wooden booths and huts around the old Central Library in Cardiff on the Hayes. And one of those is being filled this week by some of the fine boys and girls, men and women, from Candy Jar, the publishing company, who we have many, many guests from on the programme here. And I am glad to say that I have been joined by Omri Stevenson, and he is here down in Cardiff yesterday and again today, helping to promote his book for children, The Elephant and the Elephant Shrew. And I have told you a little bit about it, but without further ado, let's introduce Omri so that he can tell us a little bit about it and, importantly as well, a little bit about himself. So good morning to you, Omri, sir. First up then, let's find out a little bit about your good self, if we can. You've come down from London today, so are you a London boy born and bred?
Well, I was actually born in Israel.
Israel, right.
In the late 60s, and given my way by age there. And I came over to London with my parents in the early 70s. So I've been here sort of, you can calculate.
Right.
So I've been living pretty much in London, West London, North London for my whole life, and North London for the last 20 years.
I see. Okay. So what's the day job, so to speak?
You know, I've trained as a digital artist many years ago. So I've been working for many years as a freelance digital artist, doing everything from publishing work and children's publishing through to web design and web graphics and a bit of animation over the years, specializing in Photoshop and Illustrator and so on. So it's pretty much what I do.
Excellent.
I've been, you know, putting a lot of focus into my children's picture books. When I studied did a master's degree back in 2018 at Cambridge School of Art.
Right.
And yeah, graduated with an MA in children's book illustration. A very good course.
Well, there we are, clearly. So you you know your stuff. And you've been able to put that, obviously, to good use then in the book that we're going to be talking about now in due course. So you've come down, as we said, to Cardiff's Fair City over this last day or so. And you've been meeting and greeting and doing a little bit of signing and no doubt a bit of grinning at the camera with some of your young fans. So have you felt that for some time you've had the idea of wanting to move into writing books as well as, you know, the digital work that you're already doing?
Well, I've always been, throughout my adult life, I've been a big advocate for environmental causes and nature and wildlife and animals and so on. So that's something that I specialise a bit in my picture books and my illustration. I do other stuff as well, other characters. And I happened to be watching a wildlife show. I can't remember if it was David Attenborough, one of those things.
Yes.
And they mentioned this lovely little creature called the elephant shrew. It's about 6 inches long, called mammal. And he has a long nose, twitchy nose. And I thought something sparked an idea off of my head that I could sort of compare these animals that have the same name. They share the same name and some characteristics. But in a lot of other ways, obviously, they're very different. Like the elephants and the elephant shrew, you can imagine, some great big creature compared to the 6-inch little mammal. So it went from there, and I looked up, I don't know, I researched through books and Google and so on, some other animals of the same ilk, if you like, and the lion, the lion fish, and mole and mole cricket, and so they're all very diverse and wonderful creatures in different parts of the world. And initially, I thought about putting them together in the same page, but then I didn't realize that wouldn't work because they're so different in size and they come from different places, with the exception of a bee and a hummingbird bee, which comes in at the end. And so I had to find a way of sort of putting them both on the same double page spread.
Yeah, sure.
And but sort of somehow juxtaposing them so that you can make it clear that, as I mentioned, the lion fish, the lion obviously from African plains, the lion fish is from tropical seas of the Caribbean and so on. So You know, you couldn't really put, unless it was the most incredible, crazy story.
True.
Which I guess you could do.
You could do. No, well, I mean, no.
So you could. I guess you could say this book is a non-fiction by category. And then I sort of decided to do it using a collage, a digital collage, which is a bit like traditional collage, where you cut out a piece of paper and textures and so on, and stick them on. But I thought, like, I was specialising in digital artwork through my work and, you know, illustrative work and so on. So I, you know, and I do a lot of work in Photoshop and Illustrator. I scanned in drawings, and then I also scanned in lots of textures and papers, crumpled up paper. I've got stuff off the internet, which I bought from the internet. There's free stuff on the internet.
Right, right.
So I built up a whole bank of type of textures, and I used them using Photoshop, layered them up, and then using some of my skills as like I say, as a digital artist, I created these.
Well, I must say, the illustrations, I think, are absolutely super and very, very colourful. And kids, obviously, are going to know pretty quickly, you know, what the majority of the animals are in there. But the interesting thing then is going to be their namesakes, isn't it, really? Because clearly some of those things, which are much smaller or a little bit more obscure, are absolutely going to be new territory to them.
In fact, as I mentioned to a couple of the schools I was working at, there are two or three animals, or maybe a couple of animals in there that I hadn't actually heard of prior to embarking on this book. Particularly the giraffe weevil, which is in there,
right.
The pair of the giraffe, and it's only 2 inches tall or so, even its long neck. So I hadn't discovered that until that point. That was interesting for me to research that and its habits and, you know, its nature and so on.
So no doubt you learned plenty yourself.
I did, and I, you know, obviously I'd heard of some of the other animals like giraffe, elephants, and so on. You always like to think that when you do these, particularly these sort of non-fiction books, you come away as an artist and illustrator and writer, and you come away a little bit wiser. You haven't just done something that's something you're very well versed on.
And obviously with each of the animals, there is some poetry.
It's poem, what you might call non-rhyming poetry, which is verse, which is a little risky, I guess, because it sort of doesn't have the sort of convention of the rhyme and so on. But I think the trouble with putting rhyming in children's books is that it doesn't, if you want to get it licensed out to overseas territory, it can be a little bit tricky.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that rhyming books, like particularly I've mentioned Julia Donaldson as an example, they don't get published, but I think it's limited in that respect. So. I set about doing non-rhyming verse.
And how did you find that? I mean, was that something that you took to reasonably easily?
Well, it's something when I start doing any project, it's always a little bit of an uphill struggle for me somehow. I can't don't hit the ground running like some people might. Maybe a lot of writers like that. But I think it's sort of, you know, developed as a convention within the book, and hopefully it works, and kids take to it, and they don't sit reading it thinking, I wish it was rhyme.
No. I think certainly the look of the book is great. For the age range that you're pitching it at, I think you're absolutely spot on. And clearly, like you've alluded to, going along to schools and giving some readings and talking to the children and so on, great idea, because obviously then that's going to enthuse them, isn't it?
It does, and hopefully, you know, I do. What I tend to do is I initially read them this book and one or two of the others. And I try to act out the parts of the character while I'm reading it.
Yeah.
So it does work reasonably well, I hope. And I'll jump like a leopard frog and twitch my nose like an elephant shrew, and kind of get the kids to do the same thing, and hopefully they like it. And then I'll go on to doing workshops, which are based on the book. So I do colouring in, and they do collage and so on. And so it's fairly sort of straightforward, and they seem to enjoy it. So hopefully, again, they come away a little bit educated with this subject and they're entertained by it.
So, okay, this looks like a really great book for the kids. And you're telling me that you've got a few other ideas which you're juggling around with at the moment.
That's right. I mean, I got a book out, not a book, I'm working on a book, it's quite later stages, and I presented it to Candy Jar. And it's a book about pangolin. So it's the creature that's very, it's covered in scales, the only mammal that has the scales all over its body. And it's one issue of interesting thing about it, about its nature, is that it's one of the most endangered species on Earth.
Got you.
Eight different types of pangolin are all endangered. So I was interested in doing a book about pangolins and their plight, if you like, but using the same style as the elephant and the elephant shrew, which is, as I mentioned earlier, is the is digital art, using Photoshop and layering and so on. So that's the same style, but this time it's a story,
yeah,
about pangolin and its family, and its mother gets taken away by poachers.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't go into too much detail.
No, absolutely. We don't want to tell people too much. And would that be a similar sort of age group or a slightly older age group?
Well, I'd say it's a similar age group, but perhaps a little older as well. We're kind of edging more towards year three, perhaps. So 7 or 8.
Right, yeah.
Because of its subject matter. And, but, you know, hopefully of interest to my current readership. And I'm hoping that will come out perhaps in November time.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I'm planning on a launch, a joint launch in Heffers in Cambridge.
Right.
With two of my fellow students who I worked with, I studied with at Cambridge back in when I was doing my master's degree up to 2018. So I'm excited about that. So, that'd be great if that comes off.
So it sounds like then you've got more than enough to keep you busy. And I suppose there's nothing quite like writing for kids, is there, really? Because, I mean, clearly, even entertaining children, you can see straight away whether you've hit the mark or not.
Yeah, that's why I like to... it's slightly nerve-wracking, I guess, particularly before I go into the classes. But because I have to perform in some way. And performing is not always my first sort of, thing I do. But I do enjoy it when I get going. Yeah, and I get a good sense of the kids... Like you said, when I'm in the class. Well, you know, in my previous work I've done in the past, like I said, digital art and illustrative work, and I was so focused on that for 7 years, I didn't imagine I'd actually end up sort of performing.
No, it's a fair point.
All the while I was doing that stuff, I always had this passion for picture books and illustrating children's books. So, yeah, I wasn't never that far from my mind.
Damn,
I've
been
doing this stuff for the last, doing children's school, like primary schools for the last few years anyway.
So the book is published by Candy Jar. Our good friends, Sean and Karen and all the gang who work so hard. Mustn't forget Will as well. Must give Will a mention because very fine proofreader is Will because he helped proofread my book as well. I tell you what, we needed it. But they're a great bunch of people. I really do think they punch above their weight with all of their, you know, their schedule of books that they produce. And they do a really good job at getting the word out and keeping, as we said, the art of reading alive to children, because it is so essential, isn't it, that you know, you hook kids young to the love of having a book and sitting there quietly, or having mum, dad, grandparents, friends, you know, relatives reading to them. It's so vital, isn't it?
Absolutely agree. And particularly now, as this encroachment of digital media, I see very young children on their mobile phones or their parents' mobile phones. I think it should be balanced, or at least, you know, they should edge them towards traditional reading. And not sound too old-fashioned, but I think it's very important that they read physical books.
No, absolutely.
And I know that Sean, for one, it's very much into encouraging that.
Yes.
Someone who's worked in that area.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I totally agree.
And if people want to find out more about your work, Omri, do you have a website or a Facebook page or anything like that people can go to?
I have a website, www.ogsdesigns.com. That takes you to my website that's special, all about my picture books and
yes.
The schools I do.
Okay.
And I've got a Facebook account and Instagram as well, Omri Illustration, Omri Stevenson Illustration.
There we are. And we should say to people that obviously Stevenson is spelled Stephenson.
That's right.
And Omri, Omri. So obviously there's stuff about your good self on the Candy Jar website as well. I have no doubt. I mean, I'm sure Sean wouldn't miss that opportunity. Absolutely right. Well, thank you so much for coming in today to tell us the story about the elephant and the elephant shrew and the work that you're doing. And hopefully you've alluded to the point that, yeah, there's other stuff there that hopefully will be coming along soon. So fingers crossed, maybe we'll have the chance to have a further chat either in person here in the studio or maybe over the phone a bit later on in the year.